Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a new episode of KFWF Radio. This is the world's first and only combination trivia host and professional wrestling announcer of Chilean descent that currently resides in Southern California, your stunningly stubborn and stupendous student of stupidity, Ozzy V. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a new episode of Stupid. I'm always joined by the three individuals that you will soon hear. First, in the Northern Bay Area is Greg. How are you today, Greg?
I'm fantastic. How about yourself, Ozzy?
I'm doing great. We had Madden come out last week. Football season's almost upon us. And then we have the Avengers game coming out. I feel we're going to have to do a video game podcast between you and I. But that's another... I'm too crazy. I had tons of... I'm already all over the place. I had tons of caffeine. All right, Dan. Sorry. Let's get going. The hat. How is it?
It's going. It's going. The hat's doing good, too.
For those unaware, Dan is the one who always wears a hat similar to Indiana Jones. And, of course, last but certainly not least, the one holding this all together, the glue, rather, is the producer, Todd. Producing chilling, I assume.
Yeah, but I have a question, Ozzy. What? Are you already making excuses for your team this year?
What are you talking about? What do you mean making excuses for my team this year? We're not even featuring the segment Ozzy Gets Mad, and you already bring, like, it hasn't even been 2 minutes, and you bring up the, like, can we break things up? If we have one of these Ozzy Gets Mad every week, I'm going to have an aneurysm.
Well, I wasn't trying to make you mad. I was just asking you a question.
Nobody just asks anything. I'm going to ask him this so it'll piss him off. That's what the neurons inside your head thought. Jeez. All right. Before we get caught up in that, we got weird news. We got plot holes ahead. And then this week we are drafting our favorite artists or bands for our perfect concert. So, and of course, we have trivia accompanied by some music. This week we have Janet Jackson, Vince Neil, and Dead End Road. So let's get started first with some weird news. Now, this comes from Michoacán, Mexico, the Mexican state, in late July, where there is an unproven claim that answers for an entrance exam for teachers were sold between 15,000 and 25,000 pesos, which equivalents to $700 to $1,200 U.S. dollars. Local media reported 50 applicants scored all 100 questions correct, while another 300 had scores between 99 and 90. Now, what made this such a contrast is that you had other municipalities where the highest score was 71 out of 100. And then in these particular municipalities, you had 91 to 100. So there was a second test administered just 2 weeks ago where 35 cheaters were caught. And the method that they found was their fingernails had the answers. Now, it wasn't like, obviously, you weren't able to write the answers, but it was a multiple choice question or test. So what they did is they actually color coded. Now, I'm including a link in the description so you can see the photos for yourself. But they actually had color coded dots on their fingernails to indicate the order in which the answers they should be getting. So they had 100 dots on their fingernails to know which to answer. So what happened is when they noticed this, they offered them either sticky tape to cover up the fingernails or they all had to wear gloves. And there's actually some clip in the video where you actually see them taking the test with the gloves. Nothing was reported as to what their second results were, but that's pretty creative using your fingernails like that.
Yeah.
You almost feel like the time you took being that creative and getting that all done,
you could have just studied and spending $700 to $1,200 too. So to each their own. All right. Next up is the world's most expensive sandwich. Now, the owners of PB&J in Chicago, Illinois, which actually stands for Pizza, Beak, and Jukebox.
I was going to say not Philadelphia, but
no. Stumbled upon the previous record holder whose primary item was a toothpick made out of 24-karat gold. So it was a regular peanut butter and jelly sandwich, held the Guinness World Record for most expensive peanut butter and jelly sandwich, mainly because the toothpick was made out of 24-karat gold. Now, the owners got this idea for a sandwich called the Golden Goose, which was still a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. However, the loaf of the bread had gold dust baked into the flour and an edible gold leaf topping. Also included is the most expensive jam made from red and white currants that have been de-seeded by hand using goose quills, also drizzled with one of the rarest types of honey, Manuka honey. Now, all this, however, it's still normal peanut butter. Now, the Golden Goose can be yours for $350 and must be ordered one day in advance. $350. So you can, it's $50 cheaper than a PlayStation 4, or actually you can get like one of the cheaper ones, $350. I mean, it's cheaper than rent, $350 for a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Now, if you had, you know, the screw you money, you know, yeah, like, would you fly to Chicago just to try it? Or would you not want to contribute to this kind of idiocy? I mean, sorry.
Yeah, I would definitely not contribute to it.
I mean, sell it on eBay and see if I could like double that. There might be an eccentric on eBay that will buy it.
Wouldn't they just go there and get it themselves, or directly hit up the place and be like, yo, mail me one?
Todd, we're in quarantine. Think about it. Safer for me to mail it to them. I could get six.
Yeah, they can get it mailed directly from them, though, if they really want it.
Let me get this straight. You're going to roll into the post office with a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and say, I plan on mailing this.
Yeah.
You know, no joke, I actually tried mailing cans of condensed milk to somebody. That didn't turn out well. Turns out the cans exploded. And it was sent back to my house. I got this box. It was all leaky. I was like, what? You could just throw it away and give me a note saying you couldn't deliver it. What, you got to send it back to me? God, what am I going to do with this? You throw it away. The thing about it, they took it, like, it went, made it halfway there and then all the way back. Now, Greg, I know you used to work in the post office. Is there?
Yes.
Did I do something wrong?
Yeah.
Because you have a look on your face. We are recording this via video. And I feel I did something wrong. And I apologize if I did.
Okay. I mean, did you answer no to when they asked, is there anything liquid, fragile, perishable, potentially hazardous, such as lithium batteries or perfume in the box?
Okay. So here's the thing is when I saw like hazardous and stuff like that and lithium batteries or perfume, I was like, oh, this isn't lithium batteries or perfume. It's just some condensed milk. So
liquid is the first word on there.
I get that, but I pay more attention to the final words. That's my bad. Okay, fine. My bad. There we go. I apologize. My bad.
Don't commit crimes, Ozzy.
Okay, that's right. My bad. All right, moving on. A mysterious safe appears in the middle of a field. On Thursday, August 13th, a large safe was discovered on one of the fields in a farm. Now, the farmer had called authorities to help him try and open it at first because there was a note that had said, if you can open this, you can keep what's inside. And specifically, this was happening in the small city of Bear, New York. And what had happened is the authorities were able to remove the lock, but unable to actually open it. Now the farmer's saying, you know, maybe we should just leave it closed. After, you know, with all the stuff going on, it's kind of fun to just kind of have something to that for something to be mysterious, because once we open it and we're all going to be disappointed because we're all expecting something more. But I'm thinking this 600-700 pound safe just landed in the middle of a field. What if there was a time traveler that wanted to help us with any particular cures to a disease and was just like, here, whoever opens it can get the credit for the cure for cancer or other things. So what do you guys,
it's a safe, right?
This is the stupidest podcast. This is a safe. This is the stupidest podcast on the internet. So what would you want? Like, let's open the safe. What's in there?
I'd take a time travel machine. There's a lot of places I'd like to visit right now, but
no. I'm not saying like you have the time travel machine. I'm saying there's a safe that ended up what's inside the safe and a time machine. Are you talking about one of these devices where you're like, okay. All right. A time machine in a safe. Okay.
Bigger on the inside. Dr. Greg.
That's true.
Yeah, but you still need to get through the door.
If it is a safe, like a legit safe, if worse came to worse, can't you melt it somehow? Maybe that's stupid, but isn't there some way, like if you really had to break in, can't you I don't know.
I'm sure there are ways, but I do think that if this safe was a time traveling machine, as soon as it was melted down, it would cease to be a time traveling machine, unless the metal was some sort of special metal, but that's too stupid for this podcast. Greg, what do you got?
Oh man. I hate to be so basic, but man, I just love a safe full of money. Simple. Don't have to worry about any craziness. Just live my life and enjoy, man. It's not stupid or ridiculous, but I would definitely enjoy a few bucks right now.
Till the mob comes for you. They're been movies.
Although I am worried that it is going to be like a Joe Dirt moment where everyone's like, oh, it's a comet, it's a meteor, you know? No, just a big old ball of poo.
Yeah. I think I would just, in this along the same lines, like to actually, you know what? Not being a time machine, but I would love for them to be schematics for a time machine. Then I could get credit for inventing time travel. And then
did you really build it though, even with the schematic?
No. I have the schematics. Who wants this? I made these schematics. Who wants to build it?
Elon Musk did not build things.
Exactly. Yeah. Not everybody's Tony Stark. So that's what I would do. And I would take credit for time travel. And that way it'd have zero responsibility for messing up anything in the space-time continuum. So that's the way to go.
Oh, wow.
I just got some breaking news. Turns out they actually just cracked the safe opened. Huh. And inside are what appear to be answers to a Mexican entrance exam for teachers. Crazy. All right. So first trivia question we have up today is going to be in the topic of cars. And if this is your first time listening, we're going to play a song that has something to do with the answer. Might be a direct connection. Might not be, but there's some sort of connection. Try have fun figuring that out. All right. Question is, the XE, XF, and XJ are three sedan models from what automaker? Founded by Sir William Lyons in 1922 as the Swallow Sidecar Company. Once again, the XE, XF, and XJ are three sedan models from what automaker? Founded by Sir William Lyons in 1922 as the Swallow Sidecar Company. Song you're hearing is Nasty by Janet Jackson. We'll be back in a couple minutes with the answer here on KFWF.
Sitting in the movie show, thinking nasty thoughts. Better be a gentleman.
the XE, XF, and XJ are three sedan models from what automaker? Founded by Sir William Lyons in 1922 as the Swallow Sidecar Company. Song I had playing was Nasty by Janet Jackson. Do you guys have any guesses on the connection? I think you might. I kind of like lowered this down a notch just in case. No? Okay, because check this out. Here's the thing is that I mentioned football season is starting up soon, and I chose Nasty from Janet Jackson because the city of Jacksonville, Florida, currently houses the NFL team known as the Jaguars. For the correct answer, Jaguar. There's only spots there, so to each their own. It's okay. All right. Next up, plot holes ahead. Now, I wanted to talk about this. So did you guys have anything for this? Because I have something I'm very passionate about that I want. Greg, you go ahead. Kick things off.
All right. Correct me if I'm wrong, Ozzy. Yes. Resident Evil 4. I'm going to go plot holes.
Okay, sure. We're a stupid podcast. It is welcome.
So your inventory system, it's a briefcase, correct?
Yeah.
All right. So you get to continually make this briefcase bigger. And I love the system. It's great. It's fun. I love reorganizing and trying to fit everything into that briefcase. However, what briefcase are you carrying around that's got a bazooka, a shotgun? Like, really? Is that really? Is this some Doctor Who briefcase? It's some garbage.
See, I will agree with you there. And to continue with it, if people are unfamiliar with these Resident Evil games, Resident Evil 4 was the first game that featured this briefcase where it had spaces that you can manage your inventory. Whereas in previous games, you had probably a maximum of 10 spots that you would be able to use as your inventory. And that is what the remakes, Resident Evil 2, I haven't played the 3 one yet, but Resident Evil 2 did at least bring back to the solid spots, like one spot, and then some items take up two spots, you know. But what's great is that you actually see the items that you're carrying. So if you're carrying an old key, you actually see the old key clipped on to the belt clip or something like that. That's a tremendous amount of detail. So I think Capcom, the makers, felt the same way to a certain degree. And so when they went back to the remake, they thought, let's just go back to this. And then what's great is that you have access to these side pouches, right? But you see the side pouches, you know. And of course, like if you have like I'll have a pistol and I'll have a grenade launcher, the grenade launcher will be on my back while the pistol's in the holster. So that much better. Capcom, I know you're listening. Fantastic job on the remake. Even though it scares the living shit out of me, I swear to God, people can find that out soon. Yes, that will be debuting soon. As soon as I have everything edited together, because I think I'm going to go through finishing the game first, and then editing there, so that way I can just put stuff out. So pay attention to that. I will say when it is. Dan, you mentioned you didn't have anything for the plot holes, which is totally fine if you don't, because I feel I'm going to take up a lot of energy here.
No, that's cool, because I think I've seen what you're going to talk about. So
okay, so check this out. I just saw Interspace last night, and it's a new addition to HBO Max. And I've been waiting for that movie to show up on HBO Max, one of my favorite movies of all time. And I'm not going to say a spoiler thing, because it came out in 87, so it's been 30 years. So if you haven't seen it now, I mean, still watch it regardless. But
is available on HBO Max for those who haven't.
Exactly. Watch it anyway, just for the sheer performances of Martin Short. Actually, just Martin Short's hilarious. It's such a great, but also great character development. Now, my point is that you had, if you're unfamiliar with the movie, similar to Fantastic Voyage, they shrink down a person in a pod and they're supposed to go in a rabbit, but they end up going in a human. And person in the pod makes these adjustments, puts a camera in the guy's eye so he can see everything that the guy's seeing. He attaches a device to the guy's eardrum so he can hear everything the guy's saying. So obviously stuff happens and he leaves the body, but that stuff is still in Jack Putter's body, Martin Short's character, Jack Putter. So my thought is like, okay, the main antagonists of the film were still alive. Now that I won't spoil, that, you know, you can leave that. I'll leave that to you. But there's still opportunities for the antagonists to still be pursuing the protagonist, right? And I just think that 30 years down the line, you had this guy, Tuck Pendleton, who is inside the pod, could easily have a daughter that I don't know why, but for some reason, it's got to go back inside Jack Putter and be able to reconnect with the camera, reconnect with that thing. Because it's like this character just has a thing in his eye, and he described it as a white hot sewing needle going right through the pupil of his eye. He's going to go through that much pain only for use for like a day. Come on, let's take advantage of this stuff. It could be some really good stuff right now. But again, I don't think Dan would like it because that would mean a female is the main character of the movie, and we all know how that goes.
I'm kidding.
It's a joke. Dan loved the Ghostbusters movie, so there's nothing wrong with that. All right. Holy Toledo. All right, we got to pause real quick. This mother spider, I swear to you, son of a.
Oh, yeah.
I hope it bites him.
Damn, that sounds like something you'd say if it happened to me.
Jumps and you had to kill this poor spider.
No, you know what? Check this out. Spiders are suicidal. I mean, you can cut this if you want, you can leave it in, but I'm dead serious when I think spiders are suicidal, because every single time they show up, it's like, come on, get me. Come on. Come on. I don't want to. I mean, if you're a spider, you're living around a world where there are nothing but giants that constantly destroy your home, are vacuuming up your brothers and sisters. So why not have one of these giants just end it right there? Because how many times do you just flick on the bathroom light and there's a spider just waiting for you to kill it?
So Ozzy,
just do it quickly. Just do it. Just make it quick. That's what spiders are.
So Ozzy, on a scale of 1 to 10, how mad do spiders make you?
We weren't even planning on this segment and it just happened. Spiders. I don't hate spiders. I hate when I'm doing something and I see them, because it's like, you're not supposed to be here. Go outside.
Just
and
like
that's
why
I think they're suicidal, because they should be outside. If they're going inside, that's their own fault.
So what are you? What you're saying is they weren't even supposed to be here today.
Oh man. Yeah, I just killed the Dante spider. All right now. Now that I've calmed down a little bit, I apologize. Spider got me riled up. Now, next question is going to be in the topic of geography. What European country has the 11th longest coastline in the world? And of its vast number of islands, 227 of them are inhabited. Once again, what a European country has the 11th longest coastline in the world, and of its vast number of islands, 227 of them are inhabited. Song you're hearing right now, You're Invited But Your Friend Can't Come by Vince Neil, and we'll be back in a couple minutes with the answer here on KFWF. Free!
What European country has the 11th longest coastline in the world? And of its vast number of islands, 227 of them are inhabited. Song you heard was You're Invited, But Your Friend Can't Come by Vince Neil. Do you guys have any connections on the guesses? Or rather, or any guesses on the connections?
No.
All right, let's check this out. You're Invited, But Your Friend Can't Come was featured in the film Encino Man, which also had the film debut of Pauly Shore as the character Stoney. And a particular descriptor he used is close enough to the correct answer, and that descriptor is greasy. For the correct answer, grease.
That's a big thumbs down for me.
What are you talking about? You hated the Encino Man?
No, I'm just saying your connection.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
He used greasy. He uses that word in that movie. Greasy.
Okay.
In addition to wheezing the juice.
Yeah. If you made one of those work, I'd be like, okay, but greasy's like...
No. Todd, you are wrong.
I'm not saying you're right or wrong. I'm just saying...
I'm saying you're wrong.
Okay.
But what's right is the thumbs draft. Down. No, stop. Put your thumb, turn it upside down, because right now it's time for a draft. And this week we are drafting our favorite artists or bands for the concert that we would want to see. And the draft order this week is Greg, first pick, then is me, Dan, and then Todd.
So, oh, I'm third, or I'm last.
You're basically third.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Now, me and Dan are going to both be in our own planet on this one. So I think Dan will be a little bit, I'm not worried about anyone taking my picks. So let's just move on.
That's actually what this one, when I thought of it, wasn't necessarily meant for, who's going to have the best one? Because I think this will give good insight in our musical tastes, which I would like to explore. And I think that sounds pretty stupid for me. I mean, hey. Anyway, Greg, who's your first pick?
It is going to be Queen will be my first pick. I'm worried about it not getting back around. It is not my favorite band. It is definitely up there, though. But in fears of it not coming all the way back, Queen, hands down, first pick.
I'm not going to lie. That was on my list. And I know what you're about to say. But I know you know that my favorite band is Iron Maiden. However, an individual who has gone too soon was a guitarist by the name of Randy Rhoads. And Randy Rhoads was a guitarist who started out with Quiet Riot and then joined Ozzy Osbourne for Blizzard of Oz and Diary of a Madman before, unfortunately, his tragic life was taken. So in a perfect world, I'd want to see Ozzy Osbourne with Randy Rhoads. And that's like specifically with Randy Rhoads as a guitar, not Zakk Wylde. I love Zakk Wylde, but I think if Randy Rhoads had the ability to live as long or live a long life. And by the way, car accident, not even a drug overdose, which pisses me off. I think he could have been as popular or more popular than Van Halen and probably matched the popularity of Jimi Hendrix had he, of course, Jimi Hendrix is another one that if he lived a full life could reach potential. But Jimi Hendrix wasn't going to be one I took anyway. So
would you have Trujillo on bass or who would you?
All I want is Randy Rhoads on guitar. I want the Blizzard of Oz album played live. You know what I mean?
Got it.
So that's my first pork. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Stupid. All right, Dan, who's your first pick?
Speaking of,
in Danapalooza.
Oh yes.
I don't think this is a strange one. Being a horror fan, of course, I have to take Rob Zombie.
That's not bad. Now you would take Rob, not White.
Yeah, see, I would.
Yeah, it's still got to be Rob Zombie.
Okay,
I mean,
that was on my list.
I would have went with the band just because you could have, because it's going to give you more. Because before I go, go ahead. I don't know if you had more to say.
No. That, I mean, that honestly, short but sweet. That's
okay. Well,
and I've heard he puts on one of the greatest shows of all time. Whether or not you like his music, he's an amazing performer.
Yeah, you'd have a good time at his show, irregardless. Yeah.
I know I'm going to lose one of mine, but I got to pick my favorites first. So there's a good chance one of my one of the ones that's going to seem off for me might get taken, but I'm going to risk it. My first one has got to be Tupac.
Mm.
So that's it. Short and sweet. Taken too soon.
But yeah, I agree. You also do have a second pick because you're on the turn.
Okay, good. Then I'm not going to lose my second one. My second one. Well, I wasn't worried about losing this one, I'll be honest. My second one was going to be just Eazy-E until I realized we could take the whole band. So I'm taking NWA.
I was going to take it away from
you. There you go.
And you knew you should have tucked that first. But so.
Nah,
I like it.
Also, Eazy taken too soon. RIP.
100%. Dan, who you got next?
My next pick. I always have a tough time ranking favorites, but I'm going to try and like hit some other genres here. Random one you maybe wouldn't expect that I like is Alanis Morissette. Very confidently.
Wow, I did not expect that at all.
Well, you think it's going to all be like blood and guts and...
Well, it's more that you
did pick God in a draft.
Yeah,
that's true. Makes and sense. You did open things up by saying my tastes are going to be more horror. I'm a horror movie fan, so that my music's gonna be a little bit darker. And the second pick is Alanis Morissette. So they kind of that like you said, you swerved me is what I'm saying. Not a bad pick. She's a great artist. A
little bit ironic, yes.
It's a little bit ironic, guys. All right.
Think.
So next up is I didn't want to take this right now because there's one more that I'd want to take right now, but I have to take this because I'm afraid Greg might take it with his two picks. That's Pink Floyd.
Oh. Whew. Okay.
I wasn't sure if you were going to take it. I wasn't sure if you were going to take it, but if I had an opportunity to see them live, holy cow. Come on now.
No, for sure. So I was only worried because there's a band you Ozzy know is my all-time favorite band. Hands down, I've introduced you to them. You are the only person I was worried about potentially taking it, either out of spite or whatever. But I have to say, my favorite band, Dream Theater. That's my actual number one pick, but I figured it would get back to me. So, Dream Theater's my next round. Coming around the bend, though. That's where it gets tough. I'm going to go. So Dream Theater, because they will be my headliner. Sorry, Queen, even though they probably should be headliner.
Hey, Freddie, sorry, but you're going to have to open up.
Yeah. No, Freddie, you'll be second, right before Dream Theater for me. But Dream Theater does this great bit where... or at least they did. And I have to preface this, Dream Theater with Mike Portnoy, their original drummer. I definitely would love to see that again. But if you could have, there's a moment in Dream Theater show where he brings up all the other drummers who opened for them and they drum on the same drumming kit. And it's an amazing moment. And even the guitarists have like a dueling battle, which is fantastic. But I would love to see the drummer from Tool go head to head with Mike Portnoy and just drum together and go nuts. So Tool's going to be my third pick on this draft.
All right. I think we've had a discussion about them. So, moving on. now this one, I think might come as a bit of a shocker, but I saw these guys live and thought to myself, just wow. And if I could actually surpass a lot of other bands I saw live, and that is, again, maybe because they're a super group, but I'll take it anyway. Prophets of Rage. And for those unaware, that includes Cypress Hill, Public Enemy, and Rage Against the Machine. the most energetic I've seen a crowd at a concert. You know, just seeing everybody in unison, just really grooving into the music. Like, I've been to concerts and everybody like grooves, you know, gets into it in their own way. Most recently, I saw Marty Friedman, you know, guitarists, and people get into it their own way. But when it came to this particular show, like, and plus Dave Grohl came out there too, and he was like a surprise guest. I know that doesn't include him, but still, it was such a great shock to see. But everybody just in unison, in harmony, that entire, it was an unbelievable experience, and I would love to experience that again. So that's my third pick, Prophets of Rage. And Dan?
It's a good pick.
All right, so going back down the list here, probably a more obscure one, but band I...
What? An obscure pick from Dan?
That's weird.
I tried to figure out if Wang Wang ever released an album.
God.
He did not, so can't pick him. If not, I totally would, just so I could talk about him again. But I'm going to take Scum of the Earth, which was also a Rob Zombie song, ironically. But yeah, Scum of the Earth. Devil Made Me Do It.
Honestly, can't say I'm familiar, but
nope.
Teach your own. I mean, I'm glad you're being honest instead of trying to win the draft, even though we're not competing against one another. All right, Todd, who are your final two picks?
Man, these two are hard because it's like I could stay with the genre I'm most in love with, but there's some classic rock ones I'm like on like this close. I think my reason for not picking those two are going to be because I don't feel like they're going to gel well with the other two. So at least I have a reason. And I will, if they don't get picked, I'll say them in the honorable mentions. So really simple. I'm going to go Dan on this one because I know no one's going to know it but me. I'm going to go with Brother Lynch Hung. Horrorcore rapper, been around since the 90s. Studio albums are Aussie, so they count. And one of my favorite rappers of all time, the legendary, from the Bay Area, Too Short. So
that was actually a comic book before it was a band.
Shit.
Right.
Okay.
Fine picks, Todd.
I know.
No, that's what I want.
You know, Dan. I thought he was going to pick the Divinals because he likes to, well, you know. All right. Final pick. God, it's so hard to narrow it down to four. You know what? I think he's got to be put over. I'm going to go classic and I'm going to say Johnny Cash because how do you not have him on there? And I'm not a country person. I guess you could call him early country, but I do like Johnny Cash. So there you go.
I don't blame you. I hate country. I can tolerate Johnny Cash. I don't think I'd want to be in a country concert. Like after I hear one or two country songs, I'm like, all right, I need to get out of here. But still, again, to each their own, this is why I wanted to have a draft like this.
Good pick, Dan.
And can you imagine him doing something with Rob Zombie? Pretty cool.
I can't. And the clash of genres would, I think, is cool. Because like looking at my list, Ozzy Osbourne with Randy Rhoads, Pink Floyd, Prophets of Rage. I mean, this is basically like, so if you're familiar with Tidal, like the streaming service, gives you like they'll, after they figure out what your profile, your music profile is, they'll give you separate mixes similar to Spotify. I have 8 separate my mixes because I have such a varied taste in music. And well, with my last pick, I would so love to take Iron Maiden. The fact is that I already have metal covered with Ozzy Osbourne, Randy Rhoads, and I have a separate type of genre with Pink Floyd, and I have a completely separate genre with Prophets of Rage. So I want to bring in somebody who, and I mentioned this before, but I'd want to bring in somebody who would, this person could do something with every single one of these guys, and it would be crazy. Antonio Vivaldi, composer. I love,
why not?
Like, think about like him. I'd only dream about the stuff he and Randy Rhoads could come up with. That'd be insane.
Like, because I would just imagine at the end, they all just come out and start rocking, you know, and it's like, yeah. And like, that'd be my dream. I've mentioned I'd want to see him in today's music. Like, what would he do with today's instruments, today's technology? I'd love to, similar to Bill and Ted with Beethoven and something else I won't spoil, which, Greg, you need to see, by the way. But anyway.
I know.
All right. So that was my final pick, Antonio Vivaldi. Greg, who do you have for your final pick?
Well, it's tough. And luckily, since I'm the last pick, I can kind of go through some of my honorable mentions. It's tough because I think of this as, what concert would I like to see? And some of the bands that I love, like, I love me some Brian Wilson or some Bing Crosby or Rufus Wainwright or Ray LaMontagne, some fantastic artists that are out there. But I would love to have each and every one of those in a show. But to go with the grouping that I have and putting together a concert that I'd want to see, I'm really down to two others that I love. And that's going to be either the Blue Man Group or System of a Down. Fantastic shows, great music. I think I'm going to have to go with System of a Down because I've only seen them once. The one show was early days. The lineup was actually Metallica, Kid Rock, Power Man 5000, and System of a Down, and that was when their first album just came out. It was an amazing show. So even when that was their early days, yeah, I want to see where they can grow to, and I'm putting System of a Down as my last pick.
Nice.
That's really good. Okay, so to recap, Greg, you have Queen, Dream Theater, Tool, System of a Down. I have Ozzy Osbourne with Randy Rhoads, Pink Floyd, Prophets of Rage, and Antonio Vivaldi. Dan, you have Rob Zombie, Alanis Morissette, Scum of the Earth, and Johnny Cash. And Todd, you have Tupac Shakur, N.W.A., Brother Lynch Hun, and Too Short.
Hung like a noose.
Brother Lynch Hung and Too Short.
Yes.
So here's what we're going to do.
Too Short's a dollar sign.
I'm sorry. Okay. Now, here's what I just got this idea right now. And what I want you guys to do is I want you guys to give me a song of each of these guys. Okay. Not now, but of like soon. I want you to give me a song that for each of these bands. I'm going to put a playlist together on Spotify of all our songs together. So that way, anybody listening, they want to like hear like what all four of these things would be like combined, all four of our concerts or whatever. We got something for you, and you could check that out soon at the Spotify username Ozzy underscore VEE. That's OZZY underscore VEE on Spotify, and that playlist will be available soon. So that was a blast. Can't wait for that. Todd,
that's awesome.
I wanted to throw my honorable mentions out. It's one
that
didn't
have honorable mentions. Of course, no. I just want to look out real quick. Iron Maiden, my favorite band of all time, but still in this particular, like, I can't pass up the chance to see Randy Rhoads, and that covers metal because I still want Pink Floyd, Prophets Rage, Tony Vivaldi to cover my bases. But Iron Maiden, definitely an honorable mention.
All right. Well, my first one, I'm kind of like sad that Dan didn't pick it because I kind of felt it was coming, and he might feel the same after, and that's Alice Cooper.
Oh, great pick.
The only reason I didn't pick him was because it kind of clashed with the rest. And then another one, Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Yeah.
And although I kind of would have liked to see those things mixed up. So, yeah, those are my two honorables that didn't make it because they didn't fit my theme.
And Alice Cooper was good. I'm not sure if I would have picked him, but if I did, I would probably sub out Pink Floyd for Alice Cooper because his early stuff.
Only Women Bleed is like one of my favorite songs ever.
I mean, personally, one of his more older songs, Elected, is probably one of the most motivational songs I've ever heard from him. It's such a cool, because his albums used to be like almost constructed like musicals where like they all had a story and each going into one another. I love that about him.
And great shows from him too.
Absolutely.
I was worried when Dan said Rob Zombie, he was going to, you know, those two have toured quite a few times.
Right.
Yeah. I tried to do, I don't know, a diverse list.
He has a there's a live version of Frankenstein, mm-hmm. Feed My Frankenstein, where Rob Zombie actually came out and did a duet with him, right? And at the end of the song, Rob Zombie goes out and you just hear Alice Cooper like, all right, Rob Zombie, everybody. He's got to go eat a puppy or something. Crack me up. Dan, did you have any honorable mentions?
Oh, wow. There's a lot. I was like surprised one of us didn't pick Disturbed. Quite a bit. Godsmack. There's some groans there. What's wrong with Godsmack?
But it's like they're good, but I mean like but at the top, you know.
It's like the one thing Dan's mainstream on apparently is music.
A little bit. Well, I had Scum of the Earth. That's a smaller one. Mushroom Head's another one I could throw out.
Yeah. If I know them, Dan, they're not that obscure.
I'm not as obscure. Wang Wang didn't sing a song, but you know, if he did, he'd be number one.
Well, almost. Greg, did you have any honorable mentions you wanted to throw out?
I mentioned most of mine already with Brian Wilson and all those others, but I do have to say, Dan, that I my first tattoo was actually a Disturbed tattoo. I appreciate Disturbed. They're fantastic. They're wonderful. And I do want to throw this out. Not a sponsor, but John Petrucci, the guitarist from Dream Theater, just released a new album, Terminal Velocity. It's on Spotify. It's on YouTube. It's on a bunch of stuff. He reunited with the original drummer of Dream Theater, Mike Portnoy, who's won multiple Drummer of the Year awards. Out there, it's fantastic, it's wonderful. So go check it out.
Excellent. And again, as a reminder, speaking of Spotify, I'll go ahead and put a playlist together of our favorite songs from these individual artists or bands so you can enjoy them yourselves at home to your own leisure. All right, and we have one final trivia question for this week in the topic of movies. What is the highest grossing live action film that was adapted originally from a TV series, grossing over $257 million domestically? Once again, what is the highest grossing live action film that was adapted originally from a TV series, grossing over $257 million domestically? Song you're about to hear is Time for Heroes by the Libertines. We'll be back with the answer in a couple minutes right here on KFWF.
Did you see the stylish kids in the riot? Shoveled up like monks at the night on fire, wombles bleed, truncheons and shields. You know I cherish you, my love. Spread nasty disease around town. You cut on the houses with your trousers down. A head rush and in the bush. You know I cherish you, my love. Oh, I cherish you, my love. Tell me what can you want. Now you've got it all. I've seen is obscene. Time will strip it away. A year and a day. I'll build bones. Build bones. Knows what I really know. It's eating. It's chewing. It's not right for young lungs to be coughing up blood. And it's all in my hands. And it's all up the walls. Sob, stale chips are up and the whole stakes are down. It's all these ignorant faces that bring this town down. And aside and sunk with pride. Well, I pass myself down on my knees. Yes, I pass myself down on my knees. Now tell me what can you want. You've got it all. Time will strip it away. A year and a day. And Bill Bones knows what I mean. There's fewer and more distressing sights than that of an Englishman in a baseball cap. And we'll die in the class we were born. Well, that's a class of our own, my love. A class of our own. We'll be right back.
black mug, set the night on fire. Won't believe truncheons and shields. Yeah, I cherish you, my love. Yeah, I cherish you, my love.
What is the highest grossing live action film that was adapted originally from a TV series, grossing over $257 million domestically? Song I had planned by the Libertines was Time for Heroes. Do you guys have any guesses on the connection?
I mean, yes, but no, because I know my connection is way too simple. And I don't even know if my answer is correct, but Mission Impossible features a hero, and it's time for that hero. So that's my connection. Yeah, but I know that's not it.
Yeah, that's that. I knew. Yeah, Mission Impossible was my guess too.
Okay, so check this out. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I don't know, but for some reason, yeah, the song. I don't know. Okay, go ahead.
All right, Time for Heroes by the Libertines, because Heroes was a popular NBC show, or at least for the first season it was. And that first season, the primary villain was played by Zachary Quinto, who played the legendary role of Spock in the 2009 film Star Trek.
Dan, you failed by not knowing this.
I was actually thinking, well, Dan might know the answer, but the connection's so twisted,
I didn't think it was number one, actually.
Well, yeah, why would you? I mean, no one goes to see that nonsense.
Well, it is better than... Yeah,
well, when they can watch it at home for free, come on.
I will say Star Trek, that this 2009, I will take over Last Jedi 100%.
Well, I mean, that's when J.J. was making his own Star Wars movies and making
another franchise. Yeah, that's a great point.
And Star Trek Lower Decks is hilarious.
CBS
All Access.
I haven't started it.
Interesting. All right, so we've reached Full Stupid on this episode. Hopefully you've enjoyed the stupid and you'll join us again next week for some more. But before we leave, I'd just like to go over some final thoughts. Greg, you mentioned you had one. What was that final thought for this week?
It's selfish. It really is. We're talking about great bands, and I love my Dream Theater so much. And a band that's very similar to Dream Theater's Liquid Tension Experiment, which is basically Dream Theater, but with no vocals. And they're fantastic as well. So my final thought is check out both Dream Theater and Liquid Tension Experiment.
You know, And again, I did mention I'm going to put the playlist together and I'll throw it on the username under Ozzy underscore V. Well, Ozzy. Yes.
Can we share the link with this episode?
If I have your songs in time.
Well,
least the link to your account, right?
Oh, actually, I can make it a shared playlist so you guys could add to it if you guys have Spotify accounts.
Yeah.
If you guys don't have Spotify accounts, just send me the songs you want and I'll throw them on there. And then I'm also thinking, because we have some honorable mentions here, some people that we're really passionate about. I mentioned Iron Maiden. Todd, you mentioned Alice Cooper, Lennon, Skynyrd. Dan, you mentioned Disturbing Godsmack. Greg, you mentioned Brian Wilson, Blue Man Group, Liquid Tension Experiment. I might just keep putting out playlists if you guys want to send me songs.
Okay.
Cool.
We can just do that. Yeah. All right. My final thought. Actually, Dan, I apologize. Dan or Todd, did you have any final thoughts for this week?
No, nice, sir. Mine's quick. I just want to say, be sure to tune in next week where I destroy everybody once again. And that is not a prediction. That is a spoiler.
Oh,
sir.
God. Okay. Oh, I see. Okay. All right. My final thought. I watched Bill and Ted Face the Music yesterday, and I couldn't think of a more appropriate ending for a trilogy, regardless of what Dan says.
It sucked.
I repeat, regardless of what Dan says, he doesn't know what he's talking about. But what I know what I'm talking about right now is that we are at the end of this podcast. We hear the train in the background, so it's now time to go. For Greg, Todd, and Dan, say goodnight.
Good night.
And I'm Ozzy B, and we'll see you next week. And we're going to send you off with the song playing at the end credits of Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, Two Heads Are Better Than One by Power Tool. We'll see you next week, right here on KFWF.